You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat. The ball is free. Denver's got a touchdown, Denver.
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Locked On Broncos. This is your host, Cody Rourke, and today is Draft Wednesday. So tonight's show is brought to you by Draft. And I'll tell you about Draft here in a little bit and how you can join me this Sunday for a free 10-person draft over there at the Draft app as well. I'll tell you guys all about it, how you can get it on the action halfway through the show here. So, obviously, the Denver Broncos getting ready to prepare for the Miami Dolphins. And we talked a lot last night about Aqib Talib, and we are awaiting word. We are doing the show. We weren't sure what the ruling was going to be from the NFL arbitrators regarding Aqib Talib and his appeal of a 2-game suspension due to his involvement with the scuffle with Michael Crabtree last Sunday against the Raiders. Both were rejected. Now both suspensions for both guys have been reduced from 2 games to 1, and now the Broncos are going to be without Aqib Talib this Sunday when Denver travels and takes on the Miami Dolphins and Jay Cutler, who's cleared concussion protocol on Sunday down there in Miami. And Brandon Langley's going to draw a tough assignment, and teams are going to go after him. A rookie, third-round pick for the Denver Broncos. He struggled when he got put in against Cordarrelle Patterson, Amari Cooper, against the Oakland Raiders. He struggled. They picked on him a little bit. He's going to have a lot to work on this week, especially going back. And mainly it's just his eyes and his footwork with Brandon Langley specifically. That is an area I looked at, and I went back and I watched the coach's film, the All-22 film on Brandon Langley. Now, I pretty much, based on watching the game as a former defensive back, as a former cornerback, I knew exactly what was hindering Brandon Langley. Now, think about it. When you get thrown into a game, when you get thrown into an NFL game and you weren't expecting to play cornerback, but you're only expecting to really play special teams, and your best corner on your team gets ejected from the game, now you have to draw the assignment matchup on Amari Cooper, which I thought Joe Woods should have put Bradley Roby on Amari Cooper. Instead, the rookie Brandon Langley had to get his feet wet against a very, very good, talented wide receiver with Amari Cooper, and Amari Cooper made him pay. Stutter step on the inside, released outside, fade route, touchdown Oakland, and at that point, Brandon Langley, I just knew going back and watching the replay, I had to go and check the play. His eyes were on the inside, staring at the quarterback the first time. He bit on Amari Cooper's first step, which was inside. He thought he was going to run a slant route, and his foot, he got turned. He turned his hips, turned his shoulders, and at that point, he was already beaten. You can't recover from that, especially in a goal line situation, and then obviously cover zero towards late in the game when Derek Carr just threw up a miracle pass on 3rd and 8 to Cordarrelle Patterson, all-out blitz, cover zero. He just floated it up. Brandon Langley out of position on the inside, gives it up, and the Oakland Raiders went on to win after that. So obviously he's got his hands full this weekend with the matchup that he's going to be having with the Miami Dolphins and Jay Cutler. Now let's talk about Jay Cutler for a little bit while we're kind of analyzing this. Now Jay Cutler has had an up and down year. He got pretty much picked up when Ryan Tannehill was out with an ACL injury. You know, this was something that the Miami Dolphins should have done last year. They should have deactivated Ryan Tannehill. Instead, he played, and he never got off-season surgery on his knee. He had a partially torn ACL, and they decided not to go with it, not to go with surgery, because they felt like he could do okay. They felt he would be all right, and I think it was the dumbest thing they could have done, because in training camp, he's just running on the outside, and all of a sudden, he tweaks his knee. He hyperextends it, and guess what? There's knee damage, and they're like, oh, it could be a severe knee sprain. Well, guess what? The knee and the ACL specifically, get surgery on it. Okay, because the main thing that I'm really, you know, I come from a torn ACL. The ACL cannot heal itself. If the ACL could heal itself, NFL players would still be playing. Now, there are several players that have played in the NFL during games without an ACL. Hines Ward is rumored to be one of those guys. Okay, he's one of those guys. And you know, going back on it, Phillip Rivers back in the AFC Championship game a couple years ago against the Patriots, not a couple, a while ago, he played on a torn ACL. It's when LaDainian Tomlinson was still with them. It's hard. You can't do it. When you play with a torn ACL, you play with you know, weakened ligaments, and you go to step and you go to plant, that's not good. That's not going to bode well for you at all, especially if you're a player that has to cut. Now, think about football players, wide receivers, defensive backs. You're backpedaling, you're planting, you're cutting, running backs, you're running. You can't do it without an ACL, or else you risk breaking your tibia and fibula, and the Dolphins, unfortunately, put Ryan Tannehill in that situation. Now, enter a guy, okay? Enter a guy by the name of Jay Cutler, a Chicago outcast, reunited with Adam Gase. Now, Adam Gase down there in Miami, he's been a very open book. He'd been open in the public to the media to saying, well, we suck as a team. My offense is one of the worst in the league. We're not that very good offensively. So obviously, Brennan Langley will draw a tough matchup. It's going to be the wide receiver core of the Miami Dolphins. You have Kenny Stills. You have Jarvis Landry and Devontae Parker. Some pretty imperative guys. Some pretty big name guys that have the ability to get open across the field. And that's something, in my opinion, that is going to be a very interesting matchup, specifically with a guy like Jay Cutler, who's been consistently inconsistent throughout his entire career, but you have these weapons and Kenny Stills, obviously a running back at Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake, some very talented guys. Julius Thomas, former Denver Bronco. Now, this looks like it may be a game of former Denver Broncos against the Denver Broncos. You obviously have head coach Adam Gase reuniting, going up against his former team in Denver. You have head coach Vance Joseph, who was a defensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins last year, and now you have Jay Cutler, former Bronco, and obviously Julius Thomas. So a lot of different connections here for the Denver Broncos and the Miami Dolphins game. Now, it's going to be a morning game, 11 o'clock a.m. Mountain Time game, early game on the East Coast. The Broncos don't typically do good in that situation. Derek Wolfe is out. Domantas Peko more than likely is out. Derek Wolfe may be out the rest of the year. He's having some neck injuries, and it's just going to be a tough guard, obviously, overall, if you miss some of those guys, especially in the run defense. And obviously, missing Aqib Talib for this entire game is going to be a big hindrance on the no-fly zone, the secondary. The Denver Broncos have a lot of work to do. And obviously, when we look at the depth chart, obviously the offensive line for the Miami Dolphins at right tackle, you have Jesse Davis and Laremy Tunsil at left. You have Ted Larson at left guard and Jermon Bushrod at right guard and Mike Pouncey at center. So a very solid offensive line overall. But I think the key thing we need to look at when we look at this matchup is obviously the Miami Dolphins defense. They have some weapons. They have some very prolific weapons, some big name guys, some guys who like to cause havoc on opposing offenses, and it all starts up front with nose tackle Ndamukong Suh. You have Andre Branch at the defensive end spot. He's been causing havoc in the 4-3 defense alongside with Jordan Phillips and Cameron Wake, obviously manning the other side of the defensive end spot. And inside linebackers, man, talk about some veteran guys. Kiko Alonso, a guy who's been kind of deemed as a dirty player this year due to a tackle he made on Joe Flacco. I don't think Kiko Alonso's a dirty player. I've watched Kiko Alonso play for a lot of years, especially when he was an Oregon Duck. He's a guy that is one of the most disciplined guys when you watch a guard pull. He fills the gaps. He attacks. Now, he's been battling injuries, you know, throughout his entire NFL career. Now, the key to him is obviously staying healthy, but when he's healthy, he's very good, and the Denver Broncos are going to have their hands full in the run game with Kiko Alonso and obviously Chase Allen and veteran Lawrence Timmons manning that 4-3 defense. Lawrence Timmons, a veteran guy out of Pittsburgh, moving to Miami, you know, kind of rejuvenating his career a little bit. He's going to be a guy that's going to try to disrupt, especially maybe even attack some of the guard-tackle combinations that the Denver Broncos have, probably on Alan Barber's side and Ron Leary's side. And then obviously they're going to attack Max Garcia. Teams are finding a way to pretty much open Max Garcia up to where they can fill inside the gap where he's supposed to be covering. And a lot of times they'll send two guys into the same gap and he's got to pick one. And Max Garcia has struggled against picking up the rush this year. But obviously, let's take a look at the secondary for the Miami Dolphins. You have Cordray Tankersley and Xavien Howard at the cornerback position. And obviously, Altheron Werner is a guy who's a key guy that rotates in there at the defensive back nickel spot. And you have Rashad Jones and TJ McDonald, two very impressive young safeties that have the ability to break on the ball. The Denver Broncos have their hands full, and it's going to be an interesting matchup. It really is. Now, obviously, If you haven't heard, Paxton Lynch is out 2 to 4 weeks for the Denver Broncos. That's going to be, like I said, it's going to hurt the Denver Broncos because they were trying to evaluate Paxton Lynch over the course of the next 5 weeks. And now they can't do it because he's hurt. So now you don't know what you have, and you're going to have to potentially bring him in through training camp in the offseason again and see what he has in preseason. And that right there hurts the Denver Broncos. So before we get on, so obviously I want to tell you about my draft. I want to go over the practice report real quick with the Denver Broncos. The Broncos have been hit with a flu bug. Now, there's a flu bug going around Colorado. Several of my students have gotten it, and now the NFL players are getting it. And obviously, Shelby Harris is one of those guys, alongside Shane Ray and Trevor Siemian, are both kind of dealing with the flu bug right there. Today in practice, the guys who did not participate overall, Ron Leary with a back injury, Shelby Harris obviously due to illness, Paxton Lynch with his ankle, Domantas Peko's knee is messed up, sprained MCL. He may be inactive for the rest of the year, unfortunately. Emmanuel Sanders got a day off to kind of get that ankle back going, and obviously Derek Wolfe. We want to monitor the situation with Derek Wolfe because he could potentially be out for a long, long time, and that's just something we don't want to see with obviously a guy who anchors the inside of the defensive line for the Denver Broncos. Todd Davis, Adam Gotsis, Jeff Heirmann, and Shane Ray were all limited with ankle, shoulder, knee illness, and wrist injuries, and obviously Zach Kerr was a full participant with a toe injury. On the Miami Dolphins side of the ball, Matt Moore, Jermon Bushrod, Mike Pouncey, Maurice Smith, Ndamukong Suh had a day off, Michael Thomas was out, Cameron Wake had a veteran's day off, and Damian Williams had a time where he was, you know, he's dealing with a shoulder injury, he was banged up, and then Senarese Perry is in concussion protocol, he was limited, he'll probably be full go by Friday for the Miami Dolphins. So there is your Broncos Dolphins practice report over here at Locked On Broncos. So last week, I told you guys about draft on Wednesday, if you caught last week's episode. Now, a big thing that we're doing over here at the Locked On Podcast Network is Draft Wednesday. Now, it's a huge thing. We're going to do it every single week over here at Locked On Broncos. And you have the opportunity right now to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded Draft this season on their mobile phones or on their computers. You get to play in a real live snake draft, but you get done in just about under 5 minutes, and it lasts for an entire week. So you can join me right here this week for a Week 13 draft party. The best part about it is you could play for cold hard cash. And get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than on the other salary cap sites like FanDuel, DraftKings, and other places like that that involve PPR and different elements of scoring, and they have a lot of insider trading. This one is there's no bull with draft. You get the full thing. Okay, you pick a quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, or two tight ends, or a wide receiver and a tight end. You play with a total of just about five total players, and you get to compete for cold hard cash over at Draft. And all new players can get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use the promo code LONFL. That's right, LONFL. Right now, and what happens is you get a free $3 voucher for a future contest, but you can join me, obviously, for free at Locked On Broncos. I just tweeted out the link, so go back on Locked On Broncos, check out the link I retweeted and tweeted today, click the link, and you can join me free for a 10-person draft for all of the games this Sunday, a Locked On Broncos special, and be sure to enter promo code LONFL today in order for you to start playing today. So download Draft right now on your Android or Apple devices from the App Store. Play today. Sign up. Promo code LONFL. Tell them Locked On Broncos sent you. Jumping ahead, obviously, my final thoughts for the evening, really just on the matchup at hand. Now, obviously, we've talked a lot about it. The Denver Broncos season has been a roller coaster. The Denver Broncos season hasn't panned out to be whatever we want it to be, okay? The Denver Broncos coming off a 9-7 record last year, that was hard. That was hard for Broncos country, especially when you started off last year 5-0. This year you start off 3-1, and then you drop 7 straight. Now, the Denver Broncos have their hands full. Like I said, they're going to have to cover Jarvis Landry, Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills. They're going to deal with Jay Cutler. The offense is going to have to deal with Ndamukong Suh, Cameron Wake, Kiko Alonso. They have some very talented players on that Miami Dolphins roster. Now, they're not playing as well as they should or how good they look on paper, and the Denver Broncos haven't been playing that way as well. well. Both teams have very talented teams, and a lot of it is you go back and you see Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler was on the conference call today with Denver media, and they asked him a question: do you think about your time back here when you were a Bronco? And he says, no, I never do. You know, obviously the situation, he used to be a former Denver Bronco, got traded when Josh McDaniels came to town, and Josh McDaniels single-handedly sabotaged the Denver Broncos. I truly believe that. I'm a conspiracy theorist. Now, the last time the Denver Broncos played in Miami, think about this. Kyle Orton was starting at quarterback, but guess who finished the game? Tim Tebow led the Denver Broncos on a comeback win. Matt Prater kicked the game-winning field goal, but Tim Tebow orchestrated it, led the comeback, and that's when Tebow mania started running wild for the Denver Broncos. So now the Denver Broncos travel back to Miami, okay? And the last time the Broncos played here in that same exact game where the Denver Broncos won, they came back from being down, and Tim Tebow led it. Von Miller registered his sixth sack in six games during this game. And hopefully Von Miller can continue to keep that streak alive. Obviously, going up against Jay Cutler. Sometimes Jay Cutler holds the ball really long, but Jay Cutler is very known for his ability to kind of extend some plays and tuck it and run. So the defense has to do a good job containing tackles, can't get too far upfield, and you have to be able to cover the deep pass. Now, Jay Cutler will take shots deep. Primarily, that's his bread and butter. He loves to go deep. He loves to throw the cannon. Okay, he's got a very good arm. Now, Jay Cutler can also tear you up on the intermediate routes. The short stuff are areas where I feel like Jay Cutler struggles, is throwing the short routes. Now, that's where the Denver Broncos defense has to be very strong and very firm overall. Now, if they don't, they're going to have their hands full, especially with the weapons of Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills, the Broncos secondary, Chris Harris Jr., Brandon Langley, Bradley Roby. They're going to have to play really well in this game in order for the Denver Broncos to come out with a victory on the road. The defense has to play much better. Now, the defense played pretty decent, in my opinion, against the Oakland Raiders. However, when it came to the big moments, they weren't able to stop them. Obviously, on a 3rd and 8 with 1 minute and 45 seconds left in the game, Derek Carr connected with Cordarrelle Patterson. The Broncos have to be resilient for four quarters of football on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, the special teams, I thought, played a lot better. I absolutely did. Special teams usually is a factor in games like this on the road. Like I mentioned earlier, the Broncos don't have a very good history in terms of going on the eastern side of the country and playing in an early morning game. They usually don't have a lot of good luck with that, so you have to come out. The weather's going to be decent, and you have to come out and you have to play Broncos football. We haven't seen that in quite a while. We thought we were going to see a glimpse of it last week. We saw glimpses and flashes, but we didn't see the full thing, so what a better way to get back on track than going on the road and beating Jay Cutler. Anytime you get a chance to take on Jay Cutler and beat him, that's a great thing, especially if you're a former Broncos fan. Especially if you remember Adam Gase. Especially if you remember, I'm sure this is a big game for Vance Joseph being the D coordinator last year over at Miami. He struggled as a D coordinator. But today Adam Gase came out and said that, you know, he thought that Vance Joseph was a guy who was very well organized. Now, maybe that was as a coordinator, you could be a little more organized, have your hand in just one area. Right now, Broncos fans are just kind of having a little hard time in trusting what Vance Joseph has to say. So hopefully, Vance Joseph can change that narrative as well for the Denver Broncos, for the fans. If Vance Joseph, if the Broncos go in and lose this game, they lose 8 straight games, I wouldn't be surprised if shortly after Vance Joseph is shown the door by John Elway. You do not lose 8 straight games in Broncos country, period. Plain and simple, that's the expectation, is to win championships, compete for them year in, year out. And when you don't do that, if you lose 8 straight, I really see some coaching changes being made as soon as little as after the game for the Denver Broncos. Now, optimistically, hope they can go out there, hope Trevor Siemian can shake off the flu, hope the offensive line can protect whoever's at quarterback with going up against Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake, Lawrence Timmons, Kiko Alonso, Alan Branch, just some guys that are known for getting to the quarterback and causing havoc. If you didn't watch the game last week against the New England Patriots, they put Tom Brady on the dirt. Tom Brady got hit quite a few. Now, Tom Brady balled out and the New England Patriots won the ball, but Tom Brady, I'm sure, was feeling it the next day. They attack you. They go after you, and we've all seen the history with Ndamukong Suh. He's had some attempts, obviously, consistently, where he plays dirty. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see it. Ndamukong Suh, nothing ever changes. But the offensive line for the Denver Broncos has to give the quarterback, obviously Trevor Siemian, but if Trevor Siemian isn't good to go with this flu bug, then you have to look at Brock Osweiler and some other situations. But you have to obviously keep your quarterback upright, establish a balance between the run and the pass game. If you come out trying to throw the ball, you're going to lose, because teams are going to start clamping down and you're going to find yourself in a deficit, and then you can't run the ball because teams are going to plug up. The D-tackles are going to plug up on the inside, pinch the gaps, and then they're just going to sit at the sticks at the defensive back and secondary level, and the linebackers are going to have an easy read. So the Denver Broncos have to be very diverse this week, and I'm just eager to see what the Broncos can do. Obviously, following up a very poor first half, the Broncos' offense in the first half of last week's game was very poor. They played better in the second half, in my honest opinion. Have to reduce sacks. Have to learn to throw the ball away. Live another day. Don't get sacked and lose yardage. And obviously, the Broncos have to cut down on penalties and embrace a lot of things on the discipline side of the ball. Have to be disciplined. Can't be having false starts on first down, third and second. Can't have holding calls on third and second. You can't have holding calls on first and 10, because then it makes it first and 20. And then at that point, you'll lose momentum. So going on the road in a hostile environment, you have to come out with a game plan where you just focus on executing. That's the thing. Call the plays, execute the plays that you're running, try your best. That's all I really have for the Denver Broncos. I mean, what more can you ask for in the National Football League? Now, I'm eager to see. I want to see somebody lead. That's my biggest key. I want somebody defensively to lead. Last week, in my opinion, I felt Shaquille Barrett was the leader of the Denver Broncos defense out there. I thought he played very, very well, and he obviously had the strip sack fumble recovery against Derek Carr. I need Shaquille Barrett to do that more. I need more people on the defensive side of the ball. Justin Simmons to be that leader out there. Offensively, we need somebody to step up and be that vocal leader out there. C.J. Anderson, Trevor Siemian, it could even be Garrett Bowles. It could be an offensive lineman. Demaryius Thomas has to assert himself in this game and make himself a threat. A lot on the line for Demaryius Thomas. He gets over 100 yards. He has the ability. He will pass Shannon Sharpe on the all-time receiving list. He catches a touchdown. He'll pass Shannon Sharpe as well. And he's moving his way up. Denver Broncos have to come out and start playing inspired football, and we haven't seen it in a long time. Like I said, the most entertaining thing we've seen as Broncos fans in the last 7 weeks, Aqib Talib and getting into a scuffle with Michael Crabtree. That was the most excitement we've had. Now, the Broncos defense has a big task at hand, obviously stopping the running game, and Jay Cutler and the receiving threat going to do it without Domantas Peko and Derek Wolfe, two guys that have been the anchor for the Denver Broncos. I anticipate we'll see a lot of Shelby Jarrett and obviously Zach Kerr, Tyreek Jarrett and Shelby Harris, not Shelby Jarrett. Tyreek Jarrett and obviously Shelby Harris will get a lot of run. Zach Kerr, I can anticipate we might see him in the nose tackle spot given Domantas Peko's injury. Have to look forward to seeing what those guys can do. And obviously, Brandon Marshall needs to have a big game on the inside linebacker spot. Some of these Denver Broncos players are playing for their contract this year, in my honest opinion. And that's another episode for another day that we'll analyze. But Denver Broncos get ready to travel on the road to take on the Miami Dolphins this Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m. on Fox. That's pretty cool. Fox now picks up the game. I remember it got flexed out. So if you're expecting CBS, it's not on CBS. It got flexed over to Fox, so you can catch that game. I believe it. Yeah, well, now that's on Fox, I wonder if it's the afternoon game. We'll double check. We'll let you know on tomorrow's edition of Locked On Broncos. But in the meantime, go check out my man Adam Mattis over at Locked On Nuggets. He gave a great podcast today talking about the Denver Nuggets' very disappointing game last night in Utah, as well as life lessons on adversity and leadership. And he's got some great tips, great pointers over there over at Locked On Nuggets regarding leadership and dealing with adversity and obviously Denver Nuggets basketball knowledge. Check him out, Adam Mattis, over at Locked On Nuggets on the Locked On Podcast Network. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. Leave a 5-star review. Tell us why you love Locked On Broncos, why we keep you up to date, why you continue to listen to us. I appreciate all the feedback I get, the interaction. We are going to do a Periscope live here soon. We're going to do a Periscope show live combined with the Locked On Broncos element, and we're going to get some fans on here. Obviously, Fan Friday. Shoot me a DM at Locked On Broncos if you want to talk about the Denver Broncos this weekend on Friday's episode of the show. Tweet me your thoughts. Appreciate you guys. Like always, this is your host, Cody Rourke, saying good night and go Broncos.